For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show.
Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. Tonight and every Monday night, the Brandon Graham Show at 6. Join us. You could listen on the radio, watch on YouTube, or you could just come down here to Chickies. And then the Players Lounge at 7. Ike, Hugh, asking inappropriate questions. Elliot Shore Parks. And Jordan Mailata is this week's guest. Donovan McNabb joins us every week at 4 o'clock. Right now on Mondays, Buzz has not made it happen yet, though, and I am choosing to blame Buzz.
Always.
And we will we'll bring you Donovan as soon as we get him. Whoa! Tom in Dover, you're on WIP. What's up, Tom?
Yo, what's up, guys? How y'all doing?
What's up, Tom?
Hey, I was down at the I was down the gang yesterday, and the you had got up, man, and invited some people back there where y'all was doing a show at. Mm-hmm. And was the guy ex-Slayer?
Shady?
No, not Shady. It was another guy.
That was Bubba Miller.
Bubba Miller, man. You know why? Because me and a bunch of dudes, I'm thinking he was somebody from the radio, right? So I'm like, yo, you calling on the radio? I thought he might have been one of y'all guys that I never met before. And the guy was like, nah, man, he played for the Eagles, man. And then he was saying Miller. They had Miller on the back of the Eagles jersey.
Yeah, that was Bubba.
We was trying to look it up, man, but we couldn't find him.
I know, man.
That's the funny part about it, huh?
Bubba Miller, former center for us. I want to say was a draft pick of the Eagles. I think he was an Eagles draft pick out of Tennessee. Went to the University of Tennessee.
Okay.
And got drafted here by Ray Rhodes. And he played with us, with Andy, I think, the first few years before Hank Fraley took over for him. So, yeah, Bubba was here, man. Yeah, Bubba's a man, I hadn't seen Bubba in so long, man.
Yeah, I've seen everybody. I thought he was the radio. I thought he was somebody that was calling on the radio. But
hey, Tom, I got to put you on hold because we have another former player we got to talk to. But then we'll go back to you. That former player being one. Donovan McNabb. Donovan's call brought to you by United Tire. Now is the time to make the right choice about who services your car. United Auto Service. Go to UnitedTire.com. That's UnitedTire.com. Don't drive alone. Drive United. Five, how you doing?
I'm doing outstanding. Good afternoon, fellas. How we doing?
What's up, brother? I was just talking about Bubba Miller. I saw Bubba yesterday. He was at the game yesterday.
Wow, I ain't seen Bubba in a while. How's he looking? Yeah. He good, healthy?
Yeah, he's looking good, man. Looking good. I didn't even recognize him when I first saw him because he was clean shaven. So, and I hadn't. Last time I seen Bubba must have been early 2000s.
Yeah,
I think it's the last time I seen Bubba. So, yeah, we were talking about him before you came on. What's up, brother?
Okay. Oh man, I'm doing great. Doing great. I know everybody's excited right now out there how things are going, and deservingly so.
Well, we got a mixed bag as usual around here.
Well, I mean, nothing has changed then, I see.
Yeah. I always like to give you the temperature. So the temperature after the Browns win was everybody was mad. Today, people are happy, but people are pretty annoyed with Nick Sirianni. And I would say that the large of the frustration comes for all of the times that he went for it on fourth down, went for two instead of one, those sorts of decisions. Curious, as you were watching the game, were there any moments where he went for two or went for it on fourth where you were like, no, that's not the right play right there?
Well, when you don't get it the first couple times, it's time to kind of go and get the points. But I will say this. I mean, majority of the people who are upset at Nick Sirianni are people who just don't like Nick Sirianni. They don't like his demeanor. They don't like his energy. It's always something they try to pick out. One thing I can say about this football team is they're gelling and playing well together, and that's a start from their head coach. Is it a reason because they feel like they had to fight for Nick Sirianni and what he went through early on? Maybe. But I think with everybody healthy, offensively, the chemistry is definitely there. You know, I love seeing what we're doing as far as methodically moving the football, obviously running the football through Saquon and the things that he's been able to do. Our defense is applying pressure. We're being a little bit more aggressive on defense. So overall, I would have to say that I'm excited about where we are. I want to continue to see us grow. But you have to tip your hat off to Nick and his coaching staff of the adjustments that they've made.
I want to get into Saquon a little bit and what he did yesterday, because I don't think we've sort of talked about the performance that he had yesterday enough. Just your thoughts on him as a runner. And my goodness, man, I know you've never seen a play like that, because none of us have ever seen a play where somebody hurdles a player backwards. What do you think of Saquon and what he did yesterday?
I will say this. Now, Saquon is healthy. From what we've seen in New York when he was healthy, and he was running the football, and being pretty much 75 to 80% of the offense at that particular time, now coming over here to Philadelphia where he's probably, let's give or take, what, 50, 45% of the offense, and where he's not asked to carry the big load, and now having weapons on the outside and a quarterback that's getting the ball to the weapons, he's very excited. But I will say, I've never seen anybody hurdle anyone backwards.
It was one of the craziest things I've ever seen.
Yeah, being an offensive player, that is the last thing that you do, because that's usually when you get a helmet to the middle part of your back. And you definitely don't want to feel that pain. But it worked out in favor for him, and it was an exciting play. Probably would go down as the best play all season.
You know, over the last 25 years, previous to Saquon, the Eagles had two really, really dynamic running backs, Brian Westbrook and LeSean McCoy. You know, how would you rank them based on what you see? Now, you don't want to do the totality because we only have 9 games of Saquon, but I guess at their peak of when you've seen them here, where would you put Saquon in the list with those two guys?
You know what? To me, I would have to probably put Westbrook 1, LeSean 2, and then Saquon 3. Because I played, obviously, with Westbrook a lot longer. And the things that Westbrook brought to the game, not just from a running back standpoint, but also punt return, catching the ball out of the backfield and doing all of that. LeSean was probably the most exciting running back of his moves of being so elusive and being a threat in the passing game and running the football. Saquon just hasn't done that in our offense for a long period of time. And, you know, I would add another running back in there because everybody presented something different, and that would be Deuce Staples. Because Deuce was a guy who, you know, could have been used as a power back. But before I came in and then as my early years, Deuce was also elusive in being able to catch the ball out of the backfield as well.
You know, if maybe somebody with the number 5 was the quarterback, maybe we would have seen Saquon as dynamic out of the backfield, catching balls as Westbrook was. You know, he made a great catch yesterday in the end zone that was great. It was just that, and you've mentioned it a bunch of times, Westbrook and you with that screen game was so dynamic, and we have yet to see a ton of that or very much of that at all with Jalen and Saquon.
Well, you don't really need to, because what we use Westbrook, we also use Westbrook at receiver too.
Yep.
And
yep.
So when you look at what we use Westbrook with, remember we didn't have AJ Brown and Devontae Smith out there and Dallas Goedert and those guys. We had Todd Pinkton and James Thrash and we had LJ Smith who was young, we had Chad Lewis, and then we can't win and got T.O. And everybody's game elevated, and then we presented Westbrook more at the receiver position and had him ISO on linebackers and safeties, and it was a win-win for us. So I think for Saquon, it's a perfect opportunity for him to get established back in this offense, continue to stay healthy, and be a threat from the backfield as well as the screen game.
man, I want us to be able to figure out a way to keep him here for 3 years. We keep him here for 3 years, man, and get good production.
And healthy for 3 years.
Do you worry about us overusing him? Yesterday was 30 touches. And as much as I enjoy the running back and him getting the ball, is there ever a time where you say, man, we may need to pull some of the touches back? Or do you got to do what you got to do to win games?
Well, the only way that we'll be able to do that, honestly, Ike, is by utilizing the quick game. The quick game has to be an extension of the run game where we're not utilizing them so much. Mm-hmm. Do I have a problem with 30 touches? No, not absolutely not. Because if you really look at it, if you give them 20, 22 carries and 8 catches, that's pretty serviceable. It's not like he's running the football 30 times. Mm-hmm. But if we're doing touches instead of rushes, then it preserves his body. But then also, too, this goes into account how we play this season. This is when you have to go and get the lightning to the thunder. And so when you look at what Detroit has, when you look at maybe even if you go to Baltimore, the list goes on. Everybody has a duel of running backs that can present something different. And so if we go out next season and do that and alleviate some pressure for him, we definitely can have him for a healthy 3 years.
Talking to Donovan McNabb, he's with us every Monday at 4 o'clock. You know, we've talked a little bit around it, but how did you think Jalen played yesterday?
Oh, Jalen was solid. I think right now, and everybody jumped on when Cam said, but he was absolutely right. I think he's doing a great job of managing the game. Mm-hmm. Being able to get the ball to your weapons when need be efficient. Also, create explosive plays when they're there to be made. So I think he's doing a great job of managing the game from the quarterback standpoint.
Yeah, and our defense, the young defense, continues to get better. 3 turnovers yesterday. I think we had, 2 or 3 sacks I think they had yesterday. So they continue to get better as well. When you look at this team, you feel like, and we there's enough of a sample size out there around the league. You like where we're headed, the direction that we're headed as far as being one of those top teams in the NFC moving forward?
Absolutely, I do, and especially in the NFC. I think when it comes to the NFC and where teams are, I would say probably Detroit is up at the top. I would probably have to put us at 2, maybe 3, because of just where San Francisco is at this particular point. The Washington Commanders are starting to open up a little bit more eyes and being a little bit more consistent with Jaden Daniels the way he's been playing. Their defense has been pretty decent as well. So there's good competition in the NFC. But I think consistent-wise, I think we've been a little bit more consistent as our guys got back healthy.
Donovan, the Eagles play the Cowboys on Sunday. Now Dak is out on Sunday. There's been a lot of controversy around the team. Is there a part of your heart that smiles a little bit when the Cowboys struggle still?
Well, I mean, the fact that I got friends that are Cowboy fans, it makes it hilarious to me that they still want to cheer them. I mean, and everywhere I travel, it seems like people introduce themselves and want to mention that they're Cowboys fans, and I still try to figure out why. But I think for the Dallas Cowboys, their issue is they just don't have talent. When you're utilizing CeeDee Lamb as your running back, doing jet sweeps, trying to have him run featured routes, you're forcing him to football. And then defensively, everybody's hurt and they can't stop the run, which works out in our favor. And they just continue to have problems. It's tough to see for a guy like Dak, who actually is a good kid, works hard, and just I hate when people talk negative about him. But at this particular week for us, I expect us to kill him.
All right, Donovan, we appreciate your time as always, man.
All right, Five.
Appreciate it, guys. All right, y'all far away from that bridge. I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah, we're good. 6-2, good. Man. 6-2. We're good.
Okay, good. All right.
All right, thanks, Donovan.
All right, bro.
He mentioned using CeeDee Lamb as, in those jet sweeps as a running back. The Giants are in almost a similar position. I saw them doing it with Malik Nabers yesterday. Nabers had 3 good games, and then all of a sudden the rest of the league realized, like, wait a minute. There's nobody else we have to worry about on this team.
Yeah, worry about anybody else.
Yeah, and they're in that same position. It's the It's really haves and haves not have nots this year in the NFC. The Commanders are good. The Eagles are good. The Cowboys are a travesty, and the Giants are not any good either.
No.
And then it turns this Sunday's game into, I don't want to do this on Monday, but it turns Sunday's game without Dak as a touchdown favorite. It turns it into, you know, you got to win that game category.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Even though it's in Dallas.
Yep, that, don't matter.
That's a game they got to have now.
Yep.
And you
yep.
said it last week, stacking wins.
Yep.
You know, you can go into a situation where they're missing their quarterback. Go in there and win that game.
And here's the thing, Spike. I mentioned this on the pregame show yesterday because we don't talk about it much. And rightfully so because we got a long way to go. But we're 6-2, and I was talking about the importance of yesterday's game. And we all just seemingly give the Lions the benefit of the doubt. They are the best team in the league right now. They've earned that. They're coming off the NFC Championship game. But we almost just say, well, Detroit's going to be the number one seed. We're going to have to go to Detroit. No, we're only one game behind Detroit. We still have an opportunity to have home field advantage here.
Against Detroit.
Against Detroit.
Yeah.
So we just don't concede the home field advantage just yet. Detroit has to get through that own division, which is very tough. We need to take care of our business. And at the end of the season, if Detroit has more wins, fine. They will have earned it. But we don't need to concede anything. We ought to be trying to get home field advantage.
Yeah, don't worry about who's better.
Yeah.
At this point, the record is the thing that matters in that respect. We had to put Tom on hold when Donovan came on the line. Tom, we're back. Tom, you're on WIP.
Hey, listen, I'm one of them people that you was describing to Donovan when he first came on. And Donovan gave a correct answer because, I mean, I guess we at the point with Sirianni where he can't do nothing right with me anyway. You know, because I believe, Spike, and the only reason why I called today, man, because I thought you got on that one caller real bad, man. But I believe that the 2 points is for the team that's chasing. The team that's in the lead, I don't feel there's no need for us to be going for that 2 points. First of all, you got a penalty. You kicked the extra point. You got a penalty. The extra point was good. There's no need to put the offense back on the field. You take a chance on getting somebody hurt with that tush push. You know, kick the extra point, kick the field goal. We got one of the best punters. We got one of the best field goal kickers in the league. And we playing these games with these 2 points, man. And they not need it right now. Especially when you're in the league.
I don't agree. I don't agree that going for two is only for when you're behind. You feel how you feel on it, and just because I'm saying this doesn't make it right on this point, but I don't think the league is in that spot anymore. Where they consider going for it on fourth down, the same risk scenario that people thought before, and going for two is not the same risk scenario as people thought of before.
It happens a little more frequently than it did when I played, but I watch enough football on Sundays. Everybody ain't going for 2 points around the league like Nick Sirianni and Dan Campbell does.
Dan Campbell's being...
And also cost him the NFC Championship game.
Sure.
And I do think there's, and Tom, I know this sounds like it's not that big a difference. I do think there's a significant difference, and I know you said you don't like the tush push, but there's a significant difference between going for two from the 2 yard line and the 1 yard line. There just is. So they've been incredibly, now maybe Jacksonville figured something out with the tush push, or maybe we just didn't execute. Maybe they figured something out, and that play won't be as effective. But that play has been so effective over the last several years that you're almost – I know people say leaving points on the field. I think if you have the ball at the 1 yard line for the extra point and you go for one rather than two, you're leaving a point on the field.
But it's not worth the risk. It's not worth it to get one extra point. I almost believe getting stopped is more detrimental than the benefit of getting the extra point.
I don't know if y'all guys remember this, but you know, we got in trouble with this last year at the Jets game. I was there too. You know, it's 4th and 3. We went for it. The Jets got the ball and took it right in. Great field position, took it right in for a touchdown and one. You know what I mean? Sometimes, man, you got to punt the ball. Like, what's the need to go for it every time?
That's what I don't understand with Sirianni. Like, what is he trying to prove?
Here's my thing. I think it's an organizational philosophy.
You know, that's the only part I don't get.
And it has been since Doug.
Yeah.
By the way,
you're right.
And I know we've said there are similarities. It's funny. Last week we were talking about
it has been since Doug. You're right.
We've been talking about the similarities between Doug and Nick, and it may actually be that Doug and Nick, less that they're similar as coaches, which I think there are some similarities, and more in that they are coaching for the same general manager and organization that they were.
Yep.
And the organization. So good news here, and this is per Adam Schefter, that A.J. Brown is day-to-day.
Talk to me.
Now that is good news. Now.
Talk to me. A.J. Brown is day-to-day.
Great news. Because even though they scored without A.J. Brown yesterday, man, does this offense look completely discombobulated without A.J. Brown on the field.
Now, let's be honest.
Yeah.
We're lost without A.J. Brown out there on
yes.
the field. I'm lost as a damn fan watching the game without A.J. Brown on the field.
I know,
I keep saying to myself every time they hike the ball, throw it to number 11.
And I know wide receivers don't win most valuable player, but if you want to talk about value to a team, A.J. Brown is as valuable as any player offensive player in the NFL.
Yeah.
And the other thing that made me a little nervous, and maybe he was just playing coy about it, is in the press conference they asked him about Saquon's health, and he said, "We'll see this week," which was, I don't know, Saquon didn't. They didn't mention any injury yesterday.
Yeah.
Now, I had mentioned that it looked like he had tweaked something after the backwards hurdle over somebody.
Yeah.
But both Saquon and AJ are insanely important to the offense.
Yeah. And that was a legitimate question I posed to Five, man. I don't know what to do. You got to try to win football games. He's one of your best players. You want to put the ball in his hands. I also don't want to wear him down.
Yep. Yeah, I don't want to be gassed by week 15.
You need him for January and February. Like, that's what you really need him.
They should legitimately look at a running back tomorrow at the trade deadline. I mean, I'm sure teams aren't going to be –
it's not going to cost you a
lot. It's not going to cost you a lot.
But they like
Gainwell.
Kenny G.
They can take their Kenny Gainwell love and shove it.
Kenny Gainwell's pretty good.
He's just serviceable. He just kind of falls forward. He's fine, but – If Saquon, God forbid, missed time.
What about Shipley?
No.
Too slow.
Too slow?
Yeah.
See, we
got some luck with Cooper DeJean.
Listen, you're dissing the brothers now. Listen.
Wait, what?
Yeah, I called him a brother. He's a brother. Now all the white guys on the team are brothers now. Yes, everybody on our damn team, as white as playing, they're brothers. So don't be dissing Will Shipley saying he can't run.
He's
got good speed.
I think looking at a.
He does, yeah. What you see?
No, I'm thinking about the idea of trading for a running back at the.
They're not trading for a running back.
Come on, give me Jamal Williams. Just give me Jamal Williams.
What the hell is he at?
He's a Saint.
They just fired their coach.
He can't even get on the field in New Orleans.
Give us Kamara.
Give us Alvin Kamara.
Wow, we don't need to do all that. Chuba Hubbard, Miles Sanders, bring Sanders back. No. Let him be the backup.
We don't need that.
Ooh, another Penn Stater.
Wow.
All right.
Speaking of Penn State,
Jamal Adams hurt.
Never mind. But James Franklin, you couldn't cover. Seriously,
it always comes back to this.
Them losing
always by about 4 o'clock on the show.
That's all I asked. Was could you cover?
Them losing to Ohio State every year is one of the funniest things to happen.
Goodness.
215-592-9494. So coming up next.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free health care. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We haven't talked about it yet, but there were two
Philadelphia sports personalities that were involved in altercations.
Yeah, now, this is what we all been waiting on today.
A WIP employee.
Yeah.
Jason Kelce.
Yeah. WIP employees. Marcus Hayes and Jason Kelce. On the other sides. So the Embiid-Marcus Hayes thing we will talk about next, as well as Jason Kelce's conflict at Penn State. We will talk about them both next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickies in South Philly. Pre-game, in-game, or post-game, Chickies and Pete's is your destination for the Eagles all season long. It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Our Monday home, Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. It's Monday, so at 6 o'clock, the Brandon Graham Show will be live. Myself, BG, Howard Eskin, and then the Players Lounge at 7 o'clock, hosted by one Ike Reese, along with Hugh Douglas, Elliot Shore Parks, and this week's guest, Jordan Mailata. So we had two instances this weekend where Philadelphia sports, very, very high level, Philadelphia level sports personalities and players were involved in physical altercations with someone.
Which one are we talking about first?
That's what I was going to ask. Jason Kelce or Joel Embiid, which one?
Let's get Kelce out of the way.
Okay.
All right. So Jason Kelce was at Penn State for the Penn State-Ohio State game, mm-hmm. was walking along, and all I know about what happened is what everyone saw on the internet. And somebody was following along with a cell phone and made a derogatory turn, called Jason Kelce's brother Travis a word you should not say, and mentioned something about dating Taylor Swift. Jason Kelce grabs the phone, smashes it on the ground, then picks it up, looks at the guy, and says something back to him. Luckily, it sort of ended at that point. I have my opinion on it. When you saw it, what did you think?
First of all, I was just happy that was the extent of it. I mean, it was bad enough to watch and see. You don't want to see guys like a Jason Kelce in predicaments like this, right? Like, you know, Jason is someone who is of high standard. You know, we hold him in high regard in our community. I think he has a national presence, obviously. Being on ESPN, Monday Night Football, he's a future Hall of Famer, and he's up there at Penn State, I'm assuming, to enjoy the game, to enjoy the atmosphere or what have you, and you can't allow, I don't know the details of how it started, what was said, all that other stuff. I just know you can't allow yourself to be baited or put into one of those situations where you're potentially in a physical altercation with someone, or you're destroying property. Like, to me, Jason has way more to lose than whomever he got into this altercation with. He's the person that's getting talked about, not the person whose phone got took and slammed to the ground.
Yeah, Jason Kelce is an awesome guy. We've all known Jason Kelce for a long time, mm-hmm. awesome guy, and to your point, a very, very big star right now. And to be clear, what the guy was saying to him, people sort of, in this age where everybody's trying to get a video clip of somebody doing something wrong, like, that guy sucks. The guy that was doing that to Jason Kelce sucks. 100%. Like, that is not an acceptable way to act in public. But Jason is putting himself and the people he loves in a bad situation by reacting that way. Mm-hmm. You know, because the worst that imagine it goes differently. He takes the phone, he smashes the phone, and the guy swings on Jason. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, Jason's put in a position to have to physically defend himself. And Jason Kelce is he's not the size that he was before. He is still a strong, good athlete and probably would have pummeled the guy. Yeah. And then we're in a situation where it's not a funny video that we're watching online.
No.
We're in a very, very serious situation where he's putting his career at risk.
Yeah.
You know, so should that guy be doing that to Jason? Absolutely not.
Of course not, yeah.
But Jason, I know Jason wants to be the everyman who can go to the bar and just hang out, and he's always been that way.
Sure.
But he's not just a local star anymore.
Right.
He is a national star. And you were saying this off air, he's just got to have if he's going to be in a situation like this, and I know Jason doesn't want to walk around with a security guy all the time, but you're going to be with drunk college football
students,
fans.
Yeah.
Like, you have to have somebody around you who is, when that guy starts doing that, is going to walk up to the guy and is big and scary enough to where the guy walks up to the guy with the phone and goes, hey, you're not doing that anymore.
Yeah, you got
to
do it. I mean, as simple as that. I mean, and it's not just Jason. Jason's brand is of such that it demands you protect your brand.
Yeah.
And by protecting your brand, that means you can't allow anybody that's in your space that doesn't have good intentions for you.
Yep.
So, like, you got to be able to do that. His brother is a huge star because of who he's dating, as well as he's a great football player, another future Hall of Famer. A lot comes with the whole Kelce brand, and he's too big of a brand to be out there in a parking lot or tailgating area and being somehow challenged, you know, by somebody where he feels like he has to respond. He can't put the one thing that comes out of this, I hope that comes out of this, is that he understands he can't allow this to happen again.
No, that has to be
he may not be fortunate the next time.
And I don't know if these people exist in real life or just on the internet, but there was a lot of – and this is for both the Embiid and the Kelce situation – a lot of people celebrating it as, well, that person got what they deserved. That's how it should go. And it's like, you can say that all you want on the internet. That's not real life.
No.
Real life is not you – somebody says something to you wrong and you clock them or
street
you smash
justice.
Their phone. It just – it's not – and especially for somebody who is in the situation that Jason and Embiid are in, because they have so much to lose.
So much to lose, yeah.
Just not them, something around them. Mm-hmm. So I want to be clear as we talk about these things. Nobody is supporting what the guy was saying to Jason or that Jason was being treated that way. That's horrible.
Yeah.
But also – Jason just has to be smarter about it. So the Embiid situation, and we talked about it a bit on Friday, because we were talking not about the physical altercation between him and Marcus Hayes, but he mentioned Marcus on Friday when he was talking about people who say that he doesn't want to play. Mm-hmm. And we talked about it in the same context. So what happened was Saturday night, Marcus Hayes actually was in the locker room after the Sixers loss. Joel Embiid started saying things to Marcus, not to mention his son, not to mention his brother who passed away. And Joel also said something to the effect of, if you do it again, I'm going to do something and I'm going to face the consequences. And then depending on the description you read of it, he either pushed Marcus or grabbed him by the shoulder, pushed him back. So there was a couple of different accounts I read. One was Kevin Cooney in the AP. The other was Adam Aronson with Philly Voice. And Adam said he sort of pushed him in the shoulder neck area. Marcus stepped back a couple of steps, and then they were separated. So I don't think – I said this on Friday. I thought what Marcus wrote was out of line, 100% out of line. Marcus can be in totally critical of what – of Joel's choices in the offseason, of how he's played, of the condition he's been in, of the choice to play in the Olympics, and can be harsh on those things. But I think the way that he framed it in saying, well, you want to make your son and your brother who passed away proud, don't act like this, is like, come on, man. There's no reason to do that whatsoever. And I thought Marcus was out of line, shouldn't have written it. And what happened was he got a lot of that feedback when it was written a week and a half ago, and the paragraph actually got pulled. The other thing they did was, in the digital version of it, the feature photo was Joel and his son,
right,
Arthur, who was named after his brother. All that said, Joel can't touch the guy. Like, you can't – I understand how angry you are at him. You can't push him. You can't do that. You're at work. You're a 7 foot, 275-pound guy pushing a – I don't know how old Marcus is. I assume he's 50, 60 years old, pushing a reporter who's not – and again, I'll say the same thing that I said about Kelce and the other guy. Okay, so he pushes Marcus. Let's say Marcus, who just got pushed, pushes him back, and then Joel hits him.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're in a situation where we're not just waiting for – you to ramp up physically. All of a sudden you have a 30-game suspension, and this entire season is gone because you chose to touch the guy.
Yeah.
And people were celebrating the Embiid thing the same way. I understand people are angry at Marcus all the time. I understand. I understand there are a lot of people that would want to physically, you know, touch Marcus because of what he wrote. But, like, Joel's got to be better than that, too. You just can't do it. You have to – and by the way, the Sixers have to know that Marcus is going to be there, and get Marcus and Joel in a room somewhere. And if Joel wants to yell at Marcus, let him do it where you're not surrounded by other people. Let him hash it out, and then that's it. But you can't – like Joel's got to be smarter than that too. You can't do that.
Yeah, totally disappointed in Joe with this. I can totally get being ticked off about my family being mentioned in the article, and in some sort of way in which it doesn't paint me or my family in somewhat of a positive light. If you want to be critical of him as a player and his injuries and things of that nature, shortcomings in the playoffs, all that type of stuff, I think that's fair game. That's why he's made $300 million in his career. That's part of the deal. But I think Marcus wrote an article that could have been written without the extra stuff he put in there and could have sort of got his point across without adding that in there. That's an additive that he chose to put in there because he wanted reaction. Now, I'm not sure he was expecting Joel to react that way. But Joel can't do that. You just can't do that. Because that, you're right, Spike, that could have led to something so much worse that it Joel is better than that. Like you're above that, JoJo. You're above that, man. What were you gonna do to Marcus Hayes?
Right.
Like, what are you gonna do? Beat the crap out of him? Like, dude, you're in the prime of your career, you're 7'2". You're 265, 270 pounds, because he's lost 25 pounds.
Yeah.
You're 270 pounds. Like, what are you going to get out of that? What are you going to get out of that? And so I thought about this, and I'm saying to myself, I've been in a situation not quite like this, but when you feel like somebody is pressing your buttons or trying to get under your skin to get a reaction out of you, you got to be able to control your emotions to agree, and you certainly can't let it get to that point. You know, I got nothing but love for you.
Me?
Yes, you.
Yes.
As okay. My brother, Spike.
Yeah. Okay.
So I don't want you to take this any other way, but working with your dad for 2+ years.
Yes. I know.
I just wanted to preface that by saying it. So I had moments where I was going to put paws on somebody.
And by the way, he's a button pusher in the same way that Marcus.
No doubt about it.
Right.
No doubt about it. So in those moments, yeah, you feel that's what you may want to do, but I got to think about my career and what I'm trying to build and what my reputation and everything else. Even though everybody that listened to us back then, I used to get text messages.
Knock them out.
Man, just punk, you know, all type of just crazy stuff. So in other words, people would have been like, oh, man, Ike was justified. I can understand why he did it. No, he wasn't. Because if I do that to Howard, who I got love for now, that was a decade plus ago, who I got much love for now, A, what am I getting out of that as a 34, 35-year-old former NFL player to somebody his age, his size, his strength? Like, what am I getting out of that? To pummel that man.
I think the thing that you bring up, too, is specific in the Joel situation. Joel's at work.
Yes.
Joel's at work, and so is Marcus Hayes. Marcus Hayes is at work, too. If you put your hands on somebody at work, man, I mean, most times you're getting fired.
Yep, which I probably would have got fired.
Or you're lucky if you don't. So
now we know some people can do that and they get hired again. Like, but that ain't none of my business. We all can't do that. And I don't believe I was in a position to be doing that and still having a career in this field. So I only say that to say we all have decisions that we can make and we got to have some sort of self-control. And Joel, who I'm a big fan of, I was not a fan of that. And there's things Marcus has written that I didn't like. I had a former teammate that went after Marcus when I played, Brian Mitchell. They got into it because of something Marcus Hayes wrote about Brian Mitchell that B. Mitch took offense to. And they had to be separated in the locker room in the vet. So this has been Marcus for years. And I got respect for Marcus. I saw him yesterday. You know, me and Hugh saw him yesterday in the press box. You know, we know
him. Push
Marcus. No, we know him. We actually did go up to him and push him. No, I said, the funny thing I said to him, dude, I, I'm surprised you ain't got a sling or some crutches with you, bro. Like, yeah.
Play along.
Yeah, come
play
on, man.
Along.
I thought you was going to go for the bag or something. Yeah, he didn't even do that. But he took it in stride, and I don't think it's something that he's necessarily proud of or what have you. So he didn't sit there and gloat or anything of that nature. But I say this to say, I'm concerned about Joel, Spike.
Yeah.
I am. Because this is not typical behavior. Something is, and is that article might have been the tipping point, but something else is bothering him that I don't think he's handling well. And his chippiness the other day, talking about what he's done for the city and all of that, I just hope he's in a good place mentally, because he doesn't seem like it.
The thing, we did a podcast on it on Saturday, and the thing that popped up in my head that I worry about with Joel is when Andy Reid eventually left here, look, things were not going well on the field, but the off-the-field noise was so intense and so loud, you wonder if it was just time to go for a lot of reasons for Andy at the time. And I'm not sure of this with Joel yet. But the conversations I've had with people on the air here about Joel is I worry sometimes that we are at a point where there's as great as he is, there's been so much and there's so much baggage. Some of it has nothing to do with, right?
Sure.
Some of it's injuries that are not his fault. But when I talk to people about Joel, I almost can't even have a rational conversation because it's at such a peak and there's so much there. And he, I'm sure, I think Andy was probably very good at compartmentalizing and not caring and those sorts of things. Joel cares about what people are saying about him. Mm-hmm. And he reads it and he sees it and he feels it. He cares what the fans think of him. He cares about the criticisms of that he's injured all the time. He's been through a lot, and the people who cheer for him have been through a lot. Mm-hmm. And I worry that we're at a point with him here where he could come out and play for the next 3 weeks. They could go, I don't know, 8-2. He could look great. But still, that aggravation and that intensity around him is almost unsolvable until April or May or June. And that's what I worry about. As a fan of his, as a fan of the team, as wanting to him to succeed, I just worry if it's been too long.
Do you think he's laying the groundwork to ask out?
No.
Yeah, see, I don't think that either.
I don't think it either.
I don't think it's in his personality, to be honest with you.
I can't tell if he's getting fed up, though.
Yeah, what I do wonder if it's around the corner, though.
Well, the problem is that there haven't been – look, it wouldn't solve it if he went out there and played great, but it would take the temperature down a good bit.
Yep.
So I think right now he's watching the team struggle without him. He knows
stink without him.
They stink. He knows he's not allowed to just go back without being in the position that he needs to be to go back, which he would normally do. And I hope that when he just gets on the court, it just takes the temperature down a little bit. I don't. You know what's interesting about the European players in the NBA is that I can't remember any of them asking out. And that isn't to say that one of them couldn't at some point. And Joel is Africa,
you're right,
you know.
They don't. Yeah,
but the foreign players,
the damn American players.
Yeah, there's
AAU cycle. Am I right?
Well, there's been a lot, and it almost seems like they're trying to push Giannis, Jokic, and Luka for a minute.
Everybody was trying to push Giannis out of Milwaukee.
Yes.
Do you think it's basketball Illuminati
trying to keep them, push them out, or keep them in?
Trying to control?
I don't know. Maybe.
Don't go down this road.
Well, Dirk never left.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
That's actually an interesting point. I was trying to think of, like, Darko Milicic. He never asked out.
Not really the same.
Bargnani. Bargnani never asked out.
Also not the same.
Manu never asked
out. But we're looking at the top five players in the NBA right now, or more than ever, are foreign players.
Hold on. Easily.
Yeah. I found one. Porzingis.
Porzingis did ask out.
Yeah, I think they were happy to give him out as well.
Yeah.
So
So, Jack, what are you – both situations, any
– yeah, I just – the Kelsey thing, that the kid annoyed me.
Yes.
But also, Jason, he's in a different stratosphere now. You talked about that.
Yeah.
Like, you have to be able to – and everyone's recording everything these days.
Yep.
Yes.
And that's a big thing that he's going to have to learn. He's a smart guy. He'll be all right.
Yep.
Joel, like, you can't hit Marcus Hayes.
Yeah.
And the Sixers can't let that happen. You mentioned that.
Yeah.
Have a one-on-one conversation.
We've heard
stories of that happening with other people in town to settle it. It creates such a bleep show.
By the way, the way that everybody found out was amazing. You found out like the next day.
I didn't find out till yesterday morning.
So Saturday night, the game ends. And the Sixers looked awful against Memphis. And Keith Pompey tweets, the Sixers are going to lose. I'm paraphrasing. They're 1-4. Oh, boy, this season's going to be remembered for all the wrong reasons. And Embiid just shoved a reporter in the locker room. And everybody's like, what? And then somebody asked him about it. And he just responds back. He punched him.
Yeah.
Who asked about it?
Just a Twitter person.
Oh,
and Keith responds.
Keith Pompey responded. Okay.
Keith responds, he punched him. Quickly deletes it, and then Shams comes out with a report. And luckily, there were a lot of Sixers reporters in there that saw what happened. But
because I don't think Keith was there,
he was not in the locker room.
Yeah,
he was not.
And he's just saying that's you can't.
Well, word spread, and he tried to get it out there first.
Yep.
He sure did.
It was just
what a Saturday.
You're looking at the tweet, and you're like, is he being serious? Is this a serious tweet that he and Embiid asked? So there you go. All right, coming up next is the top 5 at 5, everyone's favorite segment of the WIP afternoon show. Jack, are you deciding once again to give out game balls?
I am.
Is Nick getting a game ball?
I was going to do a top 5 of the wrong Nick Sirianni decisions yesterday, but I decided it's a positive day. The Eagles win. So
you
I
can
will,
do that tomorrow.
I'll hand out game balls.
All right. So that is next. 215-592-9494. This is the WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free health care. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.